All right. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Felina.
Can I move this? My name is Felina and I'm an alcoholic. Well, there's a lot of people in here. I'm going to start off by saying I brought notes in case I go off topic to keep me reeled back in, because I like to talk about, not myself, but I like to talk about AA and sobriety and what it's done for me. So I'll start off by saying I have a sobriety date. It's December 3rd, 2003. I have 6,878 days of continuous sobriety, or 18 years, 9 months, and 29 days. And I say that quite a bit, because I'm the type of alcoholic that couldn't stay sober for a day when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't even stay sober for an hour when I got here this time. Even when I wanted to, I couldn't stay sober. And people would say, it's just one day at a time. Can you do one day? And I was like, I don't think I can. And they said, can you do an hour? Or can you do a minute? And I was like, I can commit to a minute. And then they said, okay, try five, or try the meeting time. And so I did that. And then so I started counting my days. And I've had to raise my hand quite a few times in that first year. That wasn't when I first ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I'll get to that. I have a sponsor. It's Suzanne. She's been my sponsor a couple times in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I was new, I came in here and I read the steps off the wall. And I didn't have a sponsor, and that was one of the reasons why I couldn't stay sober. And then somebody said, get a sponsor, so I got one. And my first sponsor died sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And Suzanne was the one who let me know when she had passed away, and I built a relationship with Suzanne, and I asked her to be my sponsor shortly after that, I think. And then I got a resentment at one time in my sobriety and walked away from Suzanne, got somebody else. Then I sponsored myself for a while, and then I went back to Suzanne. Suzanne's been here with me through everything that I've done in Alcoholics Anonymous, and so I want to thank her for that. I have a home group. It's the Goes to Any Lengths group in Orchid. My home group is the Wednesday night meeting that I have at my house. It's very intimate, very loving. And I modeled, or tried to model, that meeting after Shannon's meeting, because that was another meeting that was big for me when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have service commitments. I've always had service commitments since I got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. Today I have 5. I almost always have 5. I don't know why, but I do. I think it's because it goes with the number of kids I have. I don't know. So I'll go back to the beginning now. My childhood. Both my parents are alcoholics, and both of their parents are alcoholics, and I have grandparents or great grandparents that are alcoholics. That's not what makes me an alcoholic. But both my parents. My dad died last year, and my mom, I don't know what the heck she's doing. She's somewhere. But she came into Alcoholics Anonymous over and over and over again, and she never stayed sober. So she showed me that Alcoholics Anonymous didn't work. But my childhood, I was born a long time ago. And the end of the 60s, and you know, my mom was a 21-year-old spoiled little girl from Brentwood, and she met up with my dad, who was a starving artist in Venice. And she figured, hey, let's take him home and piss off our parents. And they had me and got divorced 6 months later. So you can tell I was a product of love there. I think it was alcoholism. But both my parents did love me as best as they could with what they had. And my mom, being an alcoholic, we moved around. We were talking about that at dinner. Moved around quite a bit in my childhood. I went to 5 different kindergartens. My mom was institutionalized a couple times for her alcoholism. We didn't know that at the time. We just thought she was crazy. But that's what our book talks about, that it does that for alcoholics. They sometimes have to be put in asylums. And I swore as a kid that I was never, ever going to be like that. I did not want to be an alcoholic. Not at all. It was disgusting and pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, which I didn't know what that was, but that's what it was. And I didn't want to be like that ever. I had my first drink, not alcoholically, but I had my first drink when I was 5 years old. And my parents were having a party, and I snuck to the kitchen and grabbed a Coors, can of Coors, gold, yellow belly. They're still yellow bellies, but back then I popped up, grabbed one, popped it, took a drink, and spun around in one of those, you know, lazy boy recliner chairs. Got out of the chair and fell flat on my face. And could have been the alcohol, could have just been the spinning around, I don't know. But that was I do remember my first drink. And I've done other things. I found out in sobriety that at 2 years old, my mom's friends thought it was funny to watch a little kid be tripping on acid. So I was tripping at 2, smoking pot at 4, drinking at 5. And but not because I wanted to at that point in time. It wasn't, you know, a few years later, ripe old age of 13. I was in high school, and blacked out for the first time when I was 13 years old. I drank a half pint of Jack Daniels on an empty stomach real quick, and then turned into a crying fit somewhere in there, and then made it to the bathroom to get rid of what I had drank, and passed out on the girls' bathroom floor, San Ynez High School. And my best friend walked in and found me sprawled out on the cold floor and tried to pick me up and get me off campus. Now I weighed 86 pounds, and she could not get me off the floor because I was nothing but dead weight. And she managed somehow to get me on her back, threw me in the car, drove me to her house, and her and her mother had to drag me into the house. Again, I was still nothing but dead weight. And they couldn't believe how I weighed so much, but I guess that's what alcohol does to me. And that was my first blackout. I woke up in the middle of a blackout, called out to work, and then went back and went to sleep. And then the next day, I didn't know how I'm like, I gotta go to work. They're like, no, you called out. And I didn't know that's what it was at the time. And I swore I was never gonna drink again. And I didn't for a while, until, you know, another weekend in high school or a party in high school or something. And then I would do it to fit in with the other kids. It wasn't really my thing then, because I when I was a little bit younger, I tried to do something different with my life and escape from my craziness. So I got into ice skating, and I was training to go to the Olympics at one point in time in my life. And when I ended up wanting to stay put in one place for high school, the town I ended up in happened to be, there was no ice rink around. So I quit ice skating and started drinking. And that's where my drinking kicked off, was in high school. You know, like I said, it was like on the weekends. Then it was like maybe at parties. And I always just wanted to have, you know, one drink. That was the thought pattern at the time. But the funny thing is, I've never had just one drink. I don't drink like that. I consume mass quantities of whatever it is. I still drink alcoholically. I just don't drink alcohol. I usually am double fisting a drink. Sometimes it's an energy drink and a soda. Sometimes it's two sodas. Sometimes it's a coffee and a soda. Other times it's been, you know, two rock stars, two monsters, two what. Sometimes I'm even triple fisting it, and I only have two fists, so I don't know how I'm doing that. But I'll have three drinks going at the same time. Because whatever it is that gets me out of here, I want more. So at the beginning it was alcohol, and ripe old age of 19, fresh out of high school. I did a lot of drinking in high school, and back up a little bit, 18 in high school, I fell in love with a hymn. And, you know, like most of us do, there's somebody there that we set our eyes on, and my eyes were focused on him. I had to have him. And he may not have wanted me out in public, but I was okay with that at the time. So I allowed that behavior for 4 years of high school. And then I would drink over that at the time. And my senior year of high school, I got pregnant, but I had been drinking and using the whole time, and I didn't know what to do. And I lived in a converted school bus with my dad, and I didn't think it would be good to bring a child into the life that I was living at the time, so I didn't keep the baby. And then I drank over the fact of what I had done at 19 years old, or 18 years old, and that guilt fueled a lot of my drinking. Because I grew up Catholic too, and so it was a sin for what I had done, along with the drinking and some of the other behavior. So about 6 months later, I'm drinking again, and one of my coworkers says, "Let's go out." And so we went out to a bonfire at Pismo Beach for the 4th of July. And my ex-husband and I started dating July 5th. We started dating right after the bonfire. And more drinking in there. 6 months of drinking, I will say. I know numbers. 6 months of drinking, because during that 6 months, my drinking got so bad that I decided, let's attack him one night. So I took a hostage at 19 years old. And he was 24 at the time. I didn't know it at the time that he was a virgin, but he was. And I got pregnant again. And he said, "I guess we got to get married." I said, "Okay." And so I got married at 19 and had a child. And I didn't drink in between there. I just thought that's what you do after what I did. And like I said, the guilt kind of ate at me over what I had done. So what the heck, let's have another kid. So I had another kid. And by the time I was 21, I had two kids and a husband. And I was not happy. I woke up one morning and I was like, wait, what did I do? I have two kids and a husband who isn't, you know, very affectionate. He's not touching me. This isn't what I signed up for. I don't. So let's leave. And I left, tried to leave him. And then he got suicidal in there and didn't want me to leave. So I went back and lived with him for the kids and would drink every night. You know, so I didn't have to deal with him. I would drink every night, and I couldn't stand him. Didn't know my pattern or what I had done until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. So I think I made it a whole year trying there, and left again. And started hanging out with all my drinking buddies at 22, and wanted out of the marriage. And somebody that I went to high school with professed his love for me. You know, my drinking buddy professing his love. I don't know if anybody can relate, but mine did. And hooked up with him for the next 13 years. Had three more kids. And we did all the things that go along with drinking and the other stuff. I got in. That relationship was abusive. I started doing other things that I had never done in my life, you know, little white lines of stuff. Drinking was still my thing. Whatever he was doing at the time, a drink would fix it. And then I'd get into the car at different times when during I was drinking, and I, you know, the cops would pull me over. And because I'd go to bars and do all the things that you're not supposed to do in alcohol or when you're drinking and driving. And so I got 3 DUIs during my drinking, and the cop that gave me my first DUI gave me my 3rd DUI. And it had been a 10-year time period, and he told me I hadn't changed in 10 years. Now, the time I got my 3rd DUI, I hadn't drank in 4 years because I had 3 kids in a row, so I hadn't drank in a while during that time. And what some friends and I decided to do was, let's go out and have a drink because you have 3 kids at home and you're really uptight and you need to go unwind for a minute. And when I unwind for a minute, I end up getting arrested for a DUI. That's how I drink. And like I said, it was the cop that gave me my first DUI, trying to tell me I hadn't changed. And I was not very ladylike and dignified. I called him a couple mean cuss words and said, F you. Yes, I have changed. And here's how I'm going to show you. And I don't know what else I did. And but I used to joke, because I was still drinking, that the only thing that changed in that 10 years was my blood alcohol content. So my first DUI was a 1.7, my 3rd DUI was a 0.34, and that's a lot of alcohol for somebody like me. I spent the night in jail, and it was not very fun for me, and I got out, and I still drank. You know, that wasn't the end of my drinking. That's not the end that brought me into Alcoholics Anonymous. I was in that relationship with him, and he did other things. Like I said, one of the things he had done, he liked to do things through a needle and put it to his arm. And I'm going to share about drugs. Screw it. Because drugs are part of my story. So he used to shoot heroin, and I'd wake up in blackouts. I'm assuming that's what it was. And I'd wake up, and I swore I saw it, but then I'd go back to sleep, and then it wouldn't be there. And so I kind of dismissed it, part of the relationship. But I found out later that he used heroin. And one of those children that I had, my middle child, I had found out that another child had touched her inappropriately. And I freaked out. You know, I swore if anybody touched one of my kids that I would kill them. I'm one of those. And a child touched my child. And I didn't know what to do with it, you know. But I was drinking a lot, and so I went to the person who was in charge of this child, and I talked to them, and it happened to be my daycare where it happened, and that daycare was right here in Orchid. And I remember going to my daycare lady and telling her that it was her little sister, and this happened, and we sat down with her, and then it come to find out it had happened to her, and long story. And but my daughter got help, you know, she got to see a therapist and work through those. But my alcoholic brain told me I had failed as a mother, and I didn't want to live. And so being with that abusive drug addict boyfriend, the alcoholic in me said, let's try what he's doing. And I thought I was going to die. I didn't know what would happen, but so I asked him to stick a needle to my arm with meth and heroin. And I stayed up for 21 days, went to work. I weighed 86 pounds. My arms were bruised from the tips of my fingers all the way up. My eyes were sunk in. I looked like a Holocaust victim. My bones were sticking out of me. I don't know how I was walking around, but I was. I was hallucinating. I heard lots of voices in my head because I was they said it was a drug-induced psychosis at the time. So this was really crazy. And the cops came in and arrested him. And I didn't know it at the time. It wasn't until I went to court on that charge that the police report was read, and I said, thank God it's over. And for me, that's big, and I'll share more of that too. But what happened for me was they took me to the substation on Cook, and they said, we will site release you and let you go. I didn't believe them, but they did. And the voices in my head said, they're watching you, because that's what cops do. You know, again, the voices in my head. So I walked from Cook Street, the substation, down to the Alana Club that used to be on Ben Wiley. And that was the first meeting I ever went to, was in there, because I thought the cops were following me, and I was going to act like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, and go in there. So I walked into a meeting, didn't hear a damn thing except womp, 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 God, womp, 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 keep coming back. And I walked out the other door. And that wasn't my, like I said, that wasn't the first meeting where I got sober, but I did walk in there. And then I'd go to the bar and tell people, I went to AA, and they said, here, you're not an alcoholic. And I was like, you're right. So that was in early sobriety. And then I went downhill a little more, if you can go downhill from that, but I did. And I was looking at some court cases and some, they were talking about jail time because it had been my third DUI. And jail scared me, you know, a night and 6 hours in a cell scared me. I don't like anything. I don't want to be confined. I didn't, And so they said, I said, is there anything else I can do to keep me out of jail? And they said, well, there's this thing called Prop 36. And you can sign up for that, but it's an 18-month thing. And if you drink or use, you go to jail. And I was like, hey, sign me up. And they looked at me like I was crazy, because most people don't just walk into a courtroom and say, hey, I'll take the 18-month thing that'll keep me out of jail, and if I drink or use, I'm going to jail. I'm going to do whatever I can do to get out of that, right? No, I said, I'll take that. And so I ended up leaving that him, because he went to jail, and our apartment got taken away from us because we didn't pay the rent because we were drinking and using. And I ended up at the homeless shelter, which used to be in a little, I don't know, there used to be like six rooms. It used to be on the corner over here on Lincoln. And I went there, and they said, as long as you're here, you can go to meetings if you want to. And so they would let me out during the day to go to meetings, or at night, I don't even remember what it was, but I went to meetings, and that was the first glimpses of early sobriety. My first sobriety date was March 3rd of 2003. So 3-3-0-3. What a cool sobriety date, right? But I got 30 days and celebrated. And so my sobriety date changed. And then I got 60 days and celebrated. And now I already told you I didn't have a sponsor. I read the steps up there and I was like, yeah, okay, no, okay, no. Oh, make amends, let's go tell everybody again, we found AA. And nothing like going to the hotel and telling Chewy and Louie you found AA. And, or the bar and telling them you found AA, and they're like, yeah, no here. And so, you know, I raised my hand quite a few times, and, but I did that 18-month program, and I finished it in 18 months, and, my first introduction to Suzanne was at that time. Now, ladylike and dignified, right? Okay, so I told you I weighed 86 pounds, right? And I was at the homeless shelter. They gave me this voucher for some clothing, and weighing 86 pounds, I could fit into kids' clothing. And so I went to the thrift store where they gave me the voucher and I got some clothes. Well, most kids' clothing, you know, it was summertime too. I'll give myself that credit. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. I walked into Recovery Point, for drug and alcohol with counselors, not knowing what I was going into. I walk in there in this short, I think my ass cheeks were showing, short. Black mini skirt. I had a tank top on. And I'm walking up and down Broadway. All day long, just in between meetings, in between whatever, just walking up. I was a street walker. And I walk in there and she takes one look at me and she was like, uh-uh. In fact, her exact words were, oh, hell no. What did you just get off the bus? School bus. You can't come in here looking like that. You have to put some clothes on. And I said, well, I don't have to listen to you. I don't like you. Where's a guy? Where's a guy? I'll talk to him. And so I did that for the beginning. They said, well, you have to talk to Suzanne. She was the director of the place at the time. And I was like, I'll go in her office, but I'm not going to talk to her. And I did. My first meeting, I walked into her office, and I was not very friendly. And I sat there, and then the truth came out. And then more and more was revealed. And like I said at the beginning of my little pitch, Suzanne has been here with me through everything. And I'm grateful for that. But I finished that 18-month program in 18 months. Like I shared, I have, 18 years, 9 months, and 29 days of continuous sobriety. And I stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous. I did everything wrong in Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything wrong. I have, they tell you not to get into a relationship in your first year. I got into a relationship in my first year with him. He had 16 years at the time, and I thought, okay, I'll stay sober for him. I'm going to go to meetings for him, and I did. I'm not going to drink because he said don't drink, so that's what I did. And I got service commitments because he was big in service at the time. And, those are the things that saved my life and saved me at different times when my life changed. We broke up after, a few months. And the old me, I already shared, the old me would have drank over that, and I didn't. I stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous. They said do 30 meetings in 30 days. I did 100 meetings in 30 days, because that's all I could do. I went to 1,200 meetings my first year of sobriety, and I picked service commitments because those are things that we heard. And I did all 12 steps in my first year of sobriety, and I continue to do steps throughout my sobriety. I can't tell you how many inventories I had. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through something where I had to write on it. And my second year in sobriety, I had to do an inventory on the wreckage of my first year of sobriety. And because I've created wreckage in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said, I've done everything wrong except pick up that drink. I came in here and people wanted to talk about God, and I didn't want to have anything to do with God. Like I said, I was a recovering Catholic. But I knew I had, the steps say you have to have. So I believed in my sponsor's God at the time. And that worked for me, And at 2 years in sobriety, I'm a defiant one. I told God to bite me. God can bite me. And I was doing, I wasn't doing ladylike gestures in Alcoholics Anonymous. This was one of my favorite ones throughout the year because that's what I would tell God to do, God. Yeah. I would sit out in front of the Alano Club in my bathing suit top and short shorts and work on my tan and couldn't figure out why some of the guys were hitting on me, And my first sponsor pointed out, stop hanging around in barely any clothes. stop talking like that around guys and be a lady. I know how to do that. I know how to be an alcoholic, and I know how to have a mouth that's like a sailor. You know, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. And she said, it'll come. You know, you'll learn. There's women in Alcoholics Anonymous who will show you. And one of my speakers is Sharon B. Sharon C. now, but Sharon B. at the time. And she talked about being ladylike and dignified in Alcoholics Anonymous. And she shared that at NAA, she had to walk across the room and give a hug to the woman who was now with her ex-husband at the time. And Alcoholics Anonymous showed her how to do that lovingly and kind. And I have found that out in Alcoholics Anonymous too. You know, all right. So that's life in AA for me. Got 18 years, life got better, life got worse, life got better, life got worse. I didn't have my kids for 5 years of my sobriety so that I could, not so I could focus on my recovery, but because they didn't want to give me back my kids at the time. They wanted me to get my act together, and I did. And then I got my kids back, and my kids have grown up in Alcoholics Anonymous. My kids have come to meetings. My kids have swore that they were not going to be just like me. Well, I got news for you. My kids are just like me, you know, and my kids know that, unlike me, that Alcoholics Anonymous works because they've seen their mother stay sober for 18 plus years. And I laugh because on birthdays, when they bring out a cake, my belly button birthday, Evie, even my kids will say, keep coming back. It works if you work it, and I like the way you work it. And because that's what I used to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I have a good life because of the things that I've done in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I share it over and over and over, you know, that I get to grow up in Alcoholics Anonymous publicly. You guys get to see me grow up the way I grow up, you know, and it isn't always a pretty picture. Like I said, I used to wear a tank top and shorts and did this motion quite a bit and cuss like a sailor when I was new in sobriety. And but I got those service commitments and I got my kids back and my life changed in Alcoholics Anonymous. And today I like to think, I like to think that I'm ladylike and dignified a good 90% of the time. You know, every once in a while, old me comes out, but it doesn't last very long. But I have a good life today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have a great relationship with my God today. And you heard that I didn't at the beginning of my sobriety. It took pain as a touchstone for my spiritual growth. I hate that. And I grow at the speed of pain. Well, it took me 10 years. 10 years, people, of pain, because I'm a tough one. I'm a real tough one. Pain. At 10 years, I wanted to drink, and I was going to drink at him, actually, and her. There was a her. I was going to drink at her and him, but after I did my service commitments, after I met with my sponsees, after I hung out, you know, and then I did the things, well, I pray for that bitch to get drunk, you know, and she didn't at the time, but one of my other friends who is sitting here, who had 4 years at the time, she relapsed then, and she picked up the phone and she called me, and I went over to her house and I gave her a hug, and right then and there, I realized I didn't ever want to drink again, you know, and it's because of people like her. And my God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, putting people in my life who loved me unconditionally, you know. So from 10 years on in my sobriety, so for the last, you know, 8 years, 9 months, and 29 days, I have not wanted to drink in Alcoholics Anonymous. The first 10 years I did, and that was because I didn't trust my God. I didn't. But at 10 years, I started trusting my God, And my sponsor then had told me to wake up every morning and do the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer and then get out of bed. And I still do that to this day. And then I ask God to make me a better version of me. I ask what I can do for the person who is still sick. And I ask for God to speak through me. And I ask that I can carry God's message out there. And that's not the Felina that came in here 18 years ago. You know, that it's been a long work in progress. But I'll go back to my good life. 2 weeks ago today, I got married. Woo! To him. God's timing is amazing, you know. It's funny. Some of you people were there, and we had a little hashtag going on, finally. His name is Lee, in case some of you don't know that. But it was 18 years in the making, you know. It was 18 plus years in the making. And Suzanne, when he proposed, she was like, finally, you know. And so many other people said the same. They're like, finally. I was like, yeah, hashtag finally, you know. you know, we both have a program. We both sponsor people. We both go to meetings. We have AA in our life. We have a God in our life. And it's truly amazing, you know. I'll share this little bit about, I think it was Valentine's Day. I think it was Valentine's Day. We're sitting at the table and a sponsee called him. And he was like, I think he was trying to back out of the commitment because it was Valentine's Day for me. And I looked at him and I was like, what do you think you're doing? You call him back and you tell him you can meet with him. And he goes, but it's Valentine's Day. And I said, I don't care. I'll be here when you get back from meeting with him. You know, and 90% of the time it's the other way around. You know, he's all about, but it was funny that particular moment I did that. And he was like, this is so strange, you know, that you understand. And I was like, we're both in AA. We both have a program. We both care about the person who is suffering. We will do anything for another member of Alcoholics Anonymous when they need the help, you know. Constant thought of others. Constant thought of others. You know, it's a daily thing for us, me and him. And I get that by watching other people do it, you know. And like I said, I have a good life. And I'm so grateful that this room is full tonight. You know, I've been at this meeting and there hasn't been that many people sometimes. So happy birthday to Nancy, Kathy, and Billy. You know, those are the reasons why I keep coming back. You know, I get to come back and see people celebrate birthdays. And there's been times when I haven't wanted to walk in this room and celebrate a birthday. But I get to, because it's another year that I had made it without picking up that drink. So thanks for letting me share.